Hola.
Hola, ¿qué tal?
Bien, ¿y tú?
Bien, gracias. ¿Qué es esto?
I had a newcomer who listened to the podcast a little bit.
Oh,
Our nickname for him is Emocionado.
ah, very nice.
He said, "Why don't you speak Spanish on the podcast?" And I said, "Well, probably because most people who listen are not. I mean, there's probably a good population that speaks Spanish, but more importantly, yo estoy avergonzado porque mi español es muy mal."
No, but es mejor de agosto.
Yeah, I don't know who August is.
It's just better than it was in August.
That's true. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to make a kind of an update, which I guess is the point of all of these.
True.
But a lot of stuff happened today, and
Do
I
you
was
want
afraid
to introduce
that.
yourself first,
Oh,
or?
my name's Ben or Mr. G.
I'm Peyton or Miss Rich.
I'm a little scatterbrained, just got off work.
This is
Verdad, very
very
sad.
sad.
Episode something or other.
Eight.
Episode 8.
I thought that we never technically are done with work. I thought we were never off work.
Yeah, that's another thing we can deconstruct at a later point.
Okay, so you want to give us an update on how things are going?
Yeah, just a lot of stuff happened. It was a very awkward day because we were both doing a new phase and we were getting our books. And so, like, for example, in second period, no one's there on time. The buses were late. Highly unusual look for our buses
Very
to be
strange.
late.
Our
Yeah.
buses are the most
Pretty
prompt things,
punctual buses most of
very
the time.
punctual.
But today, in a strange twist,
They
the
were
buses
late.
were late. And so, like, I was supposed to get my books in second at like 8:45. And so, like, the bell rings and, like, a good portion of the class is, like, not there. And so, like, we get in there, and I basically, like, stare at him. I'm like, "All right, for the next 6 minutes, we're gonna stare at each other, and then we're gonna go get our books, and then I'm gonna explain to you this next phase." So for the next 6 minutes, we stared at each other, and then that's exactly what happened. I should probably start with what this new phase is.
Yes, please tell me, what is phase three, previously phase two?
Phase three, the phase previously known as two,
Correct, the phase previously known as
but
two.
is in fact phase three. So that was a really bad time to take a drink
It's all right. Of tea,
of
to probably
tea
clarify.
to be clear. So phase three is the design of it is that you're able to kind of communicate with other classes, right? And the design of it is to have a way for the students to make trades with or attack the other classes.
I'm so interested. Tell me more. Tell me more.
So there's two basic resources that do this. You have iron and you have oil. And the idea is that the iron will buy you a ship, which is slower but cheaper, and the oil will buy you a plane, which is stronger and faster but much, much more expensive.
To fly to the other maps and
Yeah.
sail to the other maps, I'm guessing.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the
Okay.
idea. So a boat takes like 3 days to travel,
Okay.
whereas a plane, it's instant.
Oh,
It's
okay.
like same day. As soon as it goes to the other period, it like does its thing.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to wait. In my opinion, the boats are more powerful. Just in at least when this is first getting introduced. Because you can kind of make more of them, and you can, you know, if for example, you had like 10 boats, you could just be like constantly cycling them to go wherever you wanted them to be.
Okay.
Right? Whereas if you had one airplane, which cost the same as 10 boats, sort of kind of, we'll get into that in a bit, it could go to one place instantly every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, why? I don't know how that quote goes, but like, there's a quote from The Office I was thinking of, like, why use many words when one you.
I've never watched The Office, so
All
I
right, well,
can't help
people
you.
who
I'm
have watched The
sorry.
Office will know the quote I'm talking about. And the idea is that so you need iron to get a boat. You need 10 iron to get a boat, and you need 100 oil to get a plane.
Okay.
Big difference.
Yes.
And the way you get these is through these, like, either an iron mine or an oil well.
Okay.
I hope that explains everything for you.
Tell me about these mines and wells, because mines and wells. I will say that we have some mine-like, well-like structures on our campus, but to my knowledge, we don't have any actual oil wells or iron mines.
Yeah, no, we probably don't. So the idea is that you buy each of these structures for $10. You can buy a mine for $10. You pay $10 to me, and you can set up a mine on your territory.
Oh.
Similarly, you can buy an oil well for $10 and set that up on your territory.
I have a question.
What's your question?
What if you are a refugee in someone else's territory?
It's tied to the land. Just like the defenses, like, can't be moved, so to speak, unless you're in Period 4 and have written laws about that.
So if you're a Strike Eagle refugee, you cannot set up an iron mine. Only Strike Eagle could do that.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, not saying you can't barter a deal with him to
sure,
do that, but
sure.
He's the one with the authority to do
he's
that.
The, yeah, it's his land.
Got it.
So it's $10 for each one of these, and then you get, like, one of your respective resource per day based on that the level of that
I see.
Mine or well.
So you'd have to go 100 days to get enough oil to
with
buy
a level
mine.
One oil well, yeah.
Oh, with a level one oil well.
Yeah, now you see where it goes.
Uh-huh.
The rules about who can set up each one of these resources and when is super arbitrary.
Got it.
And let me tell you why. The reason it's arbitrary is because we have a very finite number of resource tokens we can use.
Ah, I see.
You know, we're using these little plastic coins for the iron. Excuse me. And so we've got, like, 100, like, pennies. Mm-hmm. And then 100 nickels. And so, like, the nickel would be worth 5 iron, the penny would be worth 1. But it's still only, like, 100.
Yeah.
And if you need 10 to build a boat, then like, let's say we have 11 people build a mine.
Okay.
A level 1 mine. Then after, like, 9 days, on the 10th day, everyone has 9 of these $1 tokens, but can't get the 10th one simply because I don't have the physical coin to
right.
give to them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we'd have to kind of figure that out. And I really don't want to run into that.
Yeah.
You know,
So what are you gonna do?
So what I'm going to do is basically this very kind of like eyeballing of like, I think we will run out of this resource. I think we won't run out of this resource. Like for sure, no more than 9 of either of these are going to be allowed at any one point across all classrooms.
Oh, okay. No more than 9 of each?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least none of the same level. And this is why I'm saying, like, the rules are going to look super arbitrary to the kids. And then I said that this is going to be arbitrary because we have a physical limitation here.
Yeah. Which, as an educator, we have absolutely no experience on making things happen with a finite number of resources.
No. None of that. But, you know, like, I for sure can't have, like under the, like, 11 people have a mine scenario,
mm-hmm.
there's maybe some, like, massaging of it that you can do where, like, oh, give me 5 of your 1 tokens, I'll give you a nickel, and then I can give you this 10th one. But if you've got, like, you know, like, everyone's got one of these, and you've got, like, 30 of them, then just everyone has 1 penny, you know.
Yeah.
And it's completely impossible to give everybody what they're due every single day. And so it's very much just, like, me eyeballing things and trying to play it safe and trying to keep it under, like, 9. But just, it's only about... The only limitation is the physical commodity.
Got it.
And it's me just trying to make sure we don't run out of that.
And you... Have you considered having, like, a non-physical commodity, like a spreadsheet, or...?
I hadn't. I just figured so much of this was already physical, and it's really difficult to keep track of as it is with the virtual things.
That's true.
But, like, physical is just easier to keep track of, because just, like, oh, you have it, it's yours. Like, we don't have to debate whether or not you have it.
Right.
Or, like, I updated it already or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so, but there's going to be some interesting situations where, like, for example, like, if you've got a level, like, if we've got, like, 8 level 1 mines, right? Or let's say we've got 9 level 1 mines, which I've already said is, like, going to be the max. I'm not letting anyone go above that. Then someone else could build, like, a 10th level 5 mine because I have the resource to give them for that.
Right, okay.
You know, and it's going to look pretty arbitrary. And I don't really have a way of, like, justifying this other than, like, it's the physical limitation. I guess the justification would be, like, in the real world, we have physical limitations and they sometimes impose arbitrary rules on us.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But, that's the gist of it. What do you think had more general interest, the oil or the iron?
Probably the iron, because it's not going to take as many days with a level one iron mine to accumulate a ship.
Right.
That would be my guess.
We only had one person across both classes get an iron mine.
Oh, interesting. Everybody else is mining?
And it was at my suggestion.
Mm, okay.
Everyone else is oil mining, and really there's only one oil mine that's even halfway relevant. Actually, it's very relevant.
Oh, okay.
And would you like to guess who bought that?
Maxwell.
No, you're close. Try again.
Moscada.
One more time.
The classes are starting to blend together for me.
It's Gucci Napkin.
Oh, it's Gucci Napkin.
He spent $200 to buy a level 20.
Of course he did.
Of course he did. But, he spent $200 to buy a level 20, but that's, like, relevant. Like, he can get a plane in, like, 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone else has bought, like, level 1 and level 2 of these things, which is just... I mean, I don't know what, like, where you're going to go with that. You know, you're not really going to get a much stronger... Like, you're not going to get an airplane.
Right, there's not 100 days left in the school year.
The only way that you do that is if you, like, incrementally increase it, which is what a couple of kids are doing. Like, I think Mexicali's doing that.
I have a follow-up question to this. Is this school days that it takes, or is this calendar days?
These are days that you are in class.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I'm not keeping any track of some, like, hanky-panky, like, I wasn't here. It's not what that phrase means, but hopefully it's too old-timey for anyone to know what it means. I'm not keeping track of any of that, or, like, on the block days when it's not their period. I'm not keeping track of that. There's just going to be, like, another window, probably during, like, the window of tranquility, when people aren't allowed to attack. I'm like, all right, if you've got a mine, come up right now and get your resource, you know, and then it's kind of closed or whatever.
Got it.
And it's been interesting because the, before we kind of get into the narratives of the day, there's no structure to this other than what I've given to it. So I had a kid in fourth period, Cheeto, who said, like, how much is one iron or one oil worth?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, like, I don't know. Like, like, I'm not going to buy it from you. Like, I, as the bank, will not buy that from you. I just, like, flatly refuse to. And I'm saying it's, like, it's what people are willing to pay for it. You know, and Cheeto did end up buying an oil well, I think, to kind of test the waters. But I'm like, it's about what other people are willing to pay for it, which is, I think, a really uncomfortable space for them.
Yeah.
But uncomfortable in a way that, I hate to say this, makes me happy. because it's a very, like, this is reality. Like, this is, like, this is as close to reality as you're going to get with these ideas of, like, being able to, like, only extract as much money as someone's willing to buy from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is no objective value to these things.
Right.
And so if someone's, like, out there trying to, like, collect enough oil to build their own airplane, then Cheeto's going to be someone that they want to talk to, and he might be able to negotiate his price. But, you know, these skills of negotiation are really uncomfortable for these kids.
Yes.
Which makes sense, because they're super uncomfortable for me.
Yeah. No, like, I feel that same way.
Any negotiation I have, I'm just like, you say the first offer, okay, whatever. You know, like, I agree.
I definitely do that, too. I'm like, oh, you know, like, whatever you would like.
Yeah, exactly. But
it's a good skill.
It is a good skill.
And Yeah. It's a state standard.
Is it really a state? Negotiations?
I'm not sure if the word negotiation is used, but it's something like collaborating with your peers to, like, come to a mutual agreement.
I guess that would count.
I believe it is a speaking standard. I will look into that and get back to our listeners, who I'm sure are very invested in the idea of the California state standards.
Anyway, so we're gonna get into the narratives now.
Tell me.
First off, it's before class, second period.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are kind of like looking at the map before the bell rings a little bit, and you hear them talking about it, and Gucci Nakin, like, kind of clarifies the rules about engagement, because his soldier has yet to lose, right? His super soldier of the suburb cartel, Bucky Barnes.
Bucky Barnes. Can I ask a question about
What's
Bucky
that?
Barnes?
What's that?
What is physically representing Bucky Barnes?
It's just like a small piece of paper that I've drawn a stick figure on and a number.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So he asks, because Bucky Barnes has never lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so he asks, like, what happens if Bucky Barnes loses? And I say, well, it depends on, like, the strength of the thing that's defending.
Mm-hmm.
And if Bucky Barnes loses to, like, Bucky Barnes level's 200 right now.
Mm-hmm.
If Bucky Barnes loses to a level 1 defense, Bucky Barnes becomes level 199.
Mm-hmm.
But if Bucky Barnes loses to a level 100 defense, then he goes down to a level 100,
right.
You know.
And is there any way to re-bolster him? Like, could you pay?
Yeah, you can put more money in afterwards.
Okay.
You know, by and large, that's just what happens. And Gucci Nakin kind of, he had this, like, oh kind of moment, because he'd been kind of, like, recklessly attacking people. Not really recklessly, I would say it was pretty strategic, to be honest. But,
right.
Like, we never had that moment like we did in fourth period, where, like, Maxville attacked Moliscata and, like, lost $35, you know?
Yeah.
Now it's, So we never had that, like, real moment where, like, a defense won and it was, like, this big deal. But, so he's looking at the map and he's looking at Strike Eagle and he's like, oh, no, I can't, like, attack him. Because Strike Eagle's defense is, like, 108.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, shoot. Like, it was interesting to, like, watch it happen. And he was like, it was the first time he really showed any kind of trepidation about attacking someone.
Mm.
Anyway, over the last couple days, I've been speed grading this essay. Apparently, Google Classroom has this rubric that you can, like, really get into, like, more details than I thought you could. And
mm-hmm.
it's, like, made grading so much faster.
Yay.
And I really wanted to get both classes graded by today.
So that there would be that influx into the economy.
Yeah, because now we went from, like, 119 as of, like, this time
points
last week.
Points in the grade
book. Right. Points in the grade book this time last week to now, like, 270 a week later.
Yeah.
Massive influx of money. And people want to use it. Taco, who's been... Sorry, you took a drink. I had to take
I'm
a drink,
so sorry.
Too. I was mid-sentence. Taco, who's been, like, super patiently waiting, he's like, I'm selling all of my stocks right now. And he does. I don't remember how much he gets, but he levels up his defense to, like, 175 or something.
Wow.
And I don't think that was the only thing he did. You know, like, he increased his offense, too. And with that, he attacked Musion.
Okay.
Who's been kind of a sideline player. And I think I don't know what the financial agreement was, but he did take her land. And the land is proving to be much more valuable than I would have anticipated, because that's how you can attack other people.
Right.
Is either if you control the land or you have, like, a co-ownership with the land. So Yuri, who you will remember, was trying to sell Bluis's land to the suburb cartel, actually ended up buying a different land, Fidelina's land, from the suburb cartel.
Right.
And I think he bought it for, like, a decent amount, like $30 to $50, I want to say. No, it was $50. He paid $30 and he owed $20.
Where did Fidelina go?
Fidelina's in Strike Eagle.
Mm, okay.
We really should figure out how to make visuals in this.
I think to the episode description we can attach pictures.
I couldn't find that. We can attach, like, an episode cover art. so to speak, but it has to be like very specific dimensions. We can link things.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe we create
a shared drive or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's probably not happening this episode.
No, but we'll work on it.
We'll work on
Stand
it.
By. We have to make enough money to pay our tech guy.
So the point is that Yuri actually ended up buying a territory, for $50 from the suburb cartel, he's paid 30, he owes 20. Which I thought was interesting. You know, Yuri really, I think he's supposed to be Yuri, but anyway. He's really, making moves in these, very interesting ways. And he's playing this game in a very unique manner. And to be honest, I wish that he had, a little bit more, baseline capital. Because I think he'd be a really interesting player if he had a bit more money. Hint to Yuri, if you're listening, do your work.
good advice.
Good advice. Because he could be a really interesting player with the way he's being very sneaky about how he's going about whatever it is he wants. And I don't even know what it is he wants. And he's just he's buying things and trying to sell things instead of attacking people, you know? And that's interesting to me. We had Toenail, part of the suburb cartel, attack Meh.
Okay.
Which is interesting because Meh had an alliance with the suburb cartel.
Oh, okay.
But apparently Meh never actually told them what his territory name was.
Oh, well.
And so there was this whole thing. We had Meh and Bluis and Taco all arguing with the suburb cartel. And they're like, I heard Taco say, war, we're declaring war. It might have been Bluis. One of them was saying, we're declaring war. This means war. It was fun in the sense that, that is kind of how things happen. You know, you make an advance, you put your soldiers on someone else's land, and, the other territory declares war on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, that was something I never understood when I was younger, is, why these things which weren't, which seemed so, non-war related, mm-hmm. would provoke war. And I was very young for this, so you're going to make fun of me for thinking this wasn't war-related, but, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was younger, I was they're just putting it there.
Yeah.
You know, why does that mean we're going to war, mm-hmm. you know? It's interesting, because, the younger me would have thought Toenail makes an attack, realizes it's Meh, calls it off, says basically just surrender and I'll leave you alone, you know?
Right.
Younger me would have thought that's how that would have went. But the reality of the situation is just being attacked, he took as an insult,
mm-hmm.
you know? And he's I thought we had something. And then his clan and the suburb cartel are, you know, at each other's throats.
You know what I love about this? I love the... And it's going to be kind of weird to say that, war has childlike glee to it, but this isn't obviously real war. But, I love the childlike glee that the kids are, really getting into this and, really
mm-hmm.
living in it. I love that because I think, so often, particularly, mm-hmm. no offense to those of us listening who are teenagers, but particularly teenagers get into, the, oh, man, I'm so, adult now and, I need to give up these, childish play games. But then it's, when it comes to you, you still really, even as adults, I still want to play and do those fun things, and I just really love that they're, it's a game, right? And it's a fun game, and it's an academic game, but I love the, I just love the joy that they're getting out of it. It makes me really happy.
It's a game, but it's also not a game, in the sense that, these are very real-life skills that they're working with. This is when I think of, a game, I think of, checkers or something, which is barely a game to start with. Where, everything you do in checkers...
We now have it on recording that you said when you think of a game, you think of checkers.
Exactly. Well, I wasn't going to use chess for what I'm about to say. Mm. But, everything is, isolated to the board and kind of doesn't relate to anything else outside the world other than other checkers lurking patterns, which may or may not happen outside in the world.
Oh, but like, interesting.
Like, everything is isolated to the game, you know? And, like, the game is over, and you put it away. But, like, this, there's, like, very real skills happening.
Yes.
You know?
I didn't mean to say that it was, like, useless, just that I'm glad they're getting joy out of it.
I guess, yeah. No. I'm just saying, like, I think... there's, like, very real-world application to, like, the things that they're learning.
Yes, and, I agree.
Anyway. So what ended up happening was Toenail did go through with it, I guess, because he just, like, declared the attack. And I don't know if he had, like, Gucci Napkin's, like, approval on that, because Gucci Napkin was the one that made the truce with Mitt originally.
Oh, okay.
Am I going too fast?
No, I understand everything you're saying.
So Gucci Napkin made the truce with Mitt originally, and then Toenail attacked Mitt, which is why I phrased it that way instead of just calling them the suburb cartel, because I think there might have been some internal conflict going on there.
Suburb cartel needs a secretary.
Yeah, I guess so. So Toenail took Mitt. He went for it, and he took Mitt's stocks.
Okay.
And he left the land. That was the agreement that they came to, I guess. Because I guess people are really seeing this land as valuable.
Yeah.
And that's so interesting to me, like, given, like, they're giving it, like, land prices. Like, in terms of, like, the things that you can do in this game, they're really paying a lot for this land. Like, to be honest, Yuri probably could use that $50 for other things.
Yeah.
You know, like, he cleaned himself out and... Like he cleaned himself out of $30 and then went an extra $20 into debt for this, you know? Mm-hmm. That's how much they're valuing this land at, you know? I will go into debt for, like, almost twice my net worth over this, you know? Or one time my net worth over this.
Yeah.
But, so they're paying land prices for it. Let's see. Let me make sure I'm not jumping around too much. Other speaking of other ones is Taco also purchased from the suburb cartel.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Like, the suburb cartel got this land. They went through all this effort of getting land. And then, like, once it's not, like, next to something they don't need, they're just selling it. I think probably to put it back into the resources, which just I love because it's just, like, it's like a business model.
Yeah. Like, that thing doesn't serve us anymore. Time to sell it.
It's a total, like, business model. And I don't know how much it'll bite them for or if it'll bite them. But, like, for example, Taco bought Wiener Schnitzel's original land for $105, which
that's
is, like,
expensive.
It's a lot. But Wiener Schnitzel had $70 worth of defense on there, which made it, like, obviously a higher value property because you don't have to put, like, an extra $70 worth of defense
on it. Oh, the soldier stays on the land?
No, the soldier and the defense are different entities.
Oh, okay.
The defense is drawn onto the map.
Got it.
The defense is this little symbol that says, like, this is your defense. It always stays with the territory. It doesn't move.
Okay.
The soldier is this little paper thing that you can pass around to your friends if you wanted to.
Okay,
the
cool.
Bucky Barnes.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. But so Taco bought Wiener Schnitzel's land, which had a $70 defense on it, which is probably a good purchase because, I mean, if Gucci Napkin was afraid of, like, Strike Eagle's, like, $108 defense, like, $70 is nothing to sneeze at. You know, that is if the attack fails, $70 straight down the drain.
Yeah.
Where
did Taco go?
Taco, I mean, he's just acquiring it. He's just buying it.
Oh, okay.
So Taco's got his original base with a defense of 175, and now this additional plot of land with a defense of 70.
Got it, okay.
His investment into the stocks a week ago has paid off.
Right, yes. He was the kid you tipped off to buy some stock before the essay went
crazy.
In. Yes. Yeah. Understandable.
Other purchases is one of the kids, Mexicali, who's a new player.
Yay.
But is making some really big moves today. And I think it's because the stock went up.
Good
and
on
I
him.
Think his grade might have gone up, like, 10 to 12%.
Oh, cool.
From, like, yeah. Anyway, I won't shout out the percentages. But, like, it went up pretty big. And it's now worth a lot more. And he's like, I can do things with this. And Mexicali has been making these, like, very diplomatic kind of moves. And he's trying to get co-ownership of land. And so he got, I'm going by memory because I don't have the map in front of me, but he got, he's co-owners of Fett, of Sutter, of, I don't know if he has, he doesn't have Vars, but anyway,
he's attempting to co-own a lot of land.
He's co-owning a lot of land, and one of these lands is from the suburb cartel, let me get this straight. The suburb cartel took over Suzanne's land,
mm-hmm.
and now are renting it out to Mexicali.
Got it.
Because Mexicali has an oil well, a level 2 oil well. And every day, Mexicali is expected to give them one of those.
I see.
So they're renting the land, which is so cool. Like, yeah. Renting land? I, like, a million years I never would have thought of that.
Yeah, me neither.
That they were finding ways to rent the land. But it's so creative and kind of obvious now that we have this, like, daily dynamic.
Right, yeah, but...
You know, like, some form of predictability.
Yeah, I mean, just because it now seems obvious doesn't mean we could have predicted it was going to happen.
Right, right. Yeah, and so they're renting the land out, and what's even more interesting is that level 2 oil well,
mm-hmm.
That level 2 oil well, Mexicali doesn't own.
Hmm.
That's on Sutter bought that, but because he co-owns it, whatever deal he struck with Sutter. Like, he's now using that to, like, rent this other land.
Weird. I wonder what Sutter's getting out of this deal.
Well, Sutter's not, I would not cite Sutter as probably the wealthiest man on campus. Mm. And so I imagine there's some sort of financial thing that Mexicali's offering him directly.
Mm, nice.
Although, credit where credit's due, he also, Sutter specifically, either has or is about to massively increase his grade.
Nice. Go Sutter.
Yeah. I think he's about to skyrocket. He's just did a bunch of assignments he was missing. I really like this kid, but I think he's overworked.
Understandable.
This is the kid that's, like, got, like, I don't know if he's working more than one job, but he's working. And so I'm really just, like, happy for him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Go Sutter.
On the diplomacy side, we also have Sugarpuff.
All right, tell me about Sugarpuff.
Sugarpuff is someone I've mentioned in the past as a girl who I think wants to play and kind of has made some moves just to, like, test the waters.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's really playing.
Yay.
Yeah, and I'm really excited to see it. So she made her first attack today against Eddie. And, excuse me, technically speaking, if you look at the land, this was not legal.
Oh,
I should not have allowed this to go through.
Oh, why? Is it, like, touching, like,
They're not touching. I just hadn't realized that when she declared the attack. But it was her first time declaring the attack. She really wanted to play. I wanted her to play, you know, and so I kind of let it go through, and Eddie didn't really put up too much of a fight about it.
Okay.
And then I talked to her afterwards. I'm like, technically, that wasn't legal. But we're gonna let it stay for now, just because I'm glad you're playing the game,
mm-hmm.
and it's really cool for me to see the girls, because she's paired with Vars, remember, who's mm-hmm. another girl. It's really cool for me to see the girls, like, realizing they can take this space,
yeah,
and, like, being willing to impose, like, their, like, will and might on others. You know,
we love that.
It's really cool to see. So she attacked. She attacked Eddie, and then she made, like, a couple, she made a couple deals, and she's, like, sniffing out, like, where people are, like, not as invested in the game, and she's basically, like, saying, like, hey, you should just give me all of your stocks.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, because they don't care very much, she's just kind of getting a bunch of, like, free stuff.
Yeah, she's working her diplomacy.
Yeah, you know, she got I don't know how to say this one, like, Chalotinville, just by, like, asking for it.
Love it.
Like, there was no war declared. She was just like, hey, you should give me, like, your land and your stocks. And I don't think he had, like, stocks on him, but he was like, yeah, you can, like, take that. And so she's going total, like, social detective. mm-hmm. and totally just like finding these people who aren't that into it and just saying like, hey, can I like have your stuff? And it's so cool to watch that strategy emerge.
That is very cool.
I totally like freaking out over it, but
yeah, it's really clever. Yeah. It's a good way to go about this, a very different way. And we talked about mm-hmm. this. We've talked a lot about the gender gap in mm-hmm. this game. And I said this earlier, but I'm wondering if we're going to see more declaring of war with the boys and more mm-hmm. diplomacy, social engineering mm-hmm. with the girls. I'm just wondering, mm-hmm. I'm wondering if we're going to see that dynamic emerging.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've been kind of like declaring Gucci Napkin as like the kind of front runner of this class especially, and like, oh, that's the obvious strategy, but like I think if Sugarpuff had like locked into what was happening a little bit sooner, she could have like a very comparable amount of money and like totally under the radar.
I mean, the game is afoot, the so there's still afoot. Time.
I'm sorry, Sugarpuff, if anyone from second period is listening and trying to figure out who you are.
Yeah. The game is afoot,
but like, I mean, it's genius.
It's very Isn't smart, it? Yes.
It's genius to just, like, kind of, like, sniff around and ask people, like, if they're into the game and if they want to... Like, it's obvious in retrospect, but, like, it's so smart. It's so smart, and it's so cool to see her, you know, navigating that.
Good move.
Yeah.
We love that. We love the different ways that are coming about to play this game.
Yeah.
It's been really interesting to see.
And in that storyline, like, Vars is bankrupt.
Aww.
She was the one that, like, traded away all her stock on the first day. But because she's bankrupt, she can file for bankruptcy.
Right.
You know? And so she can get, like, a very large payout, a very large influx of cash if she does the essay.
Yeah.
Which would be, I would just be over the moon about. I would be, mm-hmm. I don't want to get too personal, but, like, I would be very proud of her.
Yeah.
I'd be really, really proud of her. No pressure. but bouncing back on this concept of bankruptcy. So Meh was attacked by Toenail. We're returning to the storyline. Meh was yes. attacked by Toenail, and Toenail basically like pushed him for all he got. And then Meh declared bankruptcy. And because he realizes how good bankruptcy is.
Yeah.
And I'm explaining to Meh how bankruptcy works, and Meh sits right next to Gucci Napkin, and Gucci Napkin is realizing how powerful this is, and Gucci Napkin's like, can I declare bankruptcy? I'm like, you are not bankrupt, my friend.
Yeah. nice try.
And I was like, you can really only declare bankruptcy if, like, an attack pushes you into being bankrupt.
Yeah.
You know? And this is where we're going to get two stories intertwining in this specific thing. It's very interesting.
Okay.
Matt looks at his resources, and he looks at Wiener Schnitzel's resources. Wiener Schnitzel, who's been contributing, now only has $4 in his wallet.
Mm.
You know, and there was this conversation with Matt about like how he like. About the parameters of going bankrupt and how it really is important that you're attacked. And Gucci Napkin calls over Yuri and he says, you owe me $20. I will forgive your debt if you attack Wiener Schnitzel.
Okay.
Right? He says, I will forgive your debt if you attack Wiener Schnitzel and push him into bankruptcy. Because the bankruptcy, because Wiener Schnitzel hasn't done his essay yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is bankrupt Wiener Schnitzel, push him into bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
and then he does it, and they just get, like, $150 from it. It was so clever.
Wow.
It was so clever.
These kids is too smart for me.
Gucci Napkin looked at me straight in the face, and he said, I'm going to implode your economy now.
Rap Star by Polo G in the background as Gucci Napkin drops the mic and walks out. Gonna implode your economy now. Oh my goodness.
And I mean, it puts me in kind of a tough spot because, you know, if kids are getting their assignments done, what the F do I care?
Yeah.
You know, if kids are getting their assignments done and they're they feel like they're breaking the system, and which they kind of are, but by doing what this whole thing was designed to do in the first place, who am I to argue with that?
Yeah.
You know? But still, I'm going to enact fourth period's law about bankruptcies and how there's a cap.
Yeah.
And it's, the cap, oh, one sec. I wasn't going to open this yet until we got to fourth period, but it's important.
Yeah.
Or at least it's relevant. So the fourth period law that I will be enacting in second period is the bankruptcy cap should become the range of the average wealth in segments of $50. For example, if the average wealth is $89, 89 is closer to 100 than 50. So whatever the average wealth of everybody in the class is, it's rounded to
about
50 that's closer. I did not do
so the bankruptcy cap in that case would be $100.
Yes.
Got
exactly.
It.
The average wealth in the class at the time was, it was like $74.80.
Okay.
And Gucci Napkin had not done his essay. He hadn't turned in his final essay. And so Gucci Napkin looks at the average wealth, or what it would be rounded to, and he says, all right, Wiener Schnitzel, you can get up to $150 right now. And then he says, one moment. And he turns in his essay, and he makes me update the sheet, and it updates like $177
as the average
wealth.
Oh my God.
So he single-handedly brought up the average wealth so that Wiener Schnitzel could collect up to $200. I was like, the way, like, Gucci Napkin gets this game. Like, Gucci Napkin.
Yeah, Gucci Napkin has a skill set that's really being utilized in this arena here. I'm very excited for him.
Yeah.
That this is like, that he's, I wonder if he's just been waiting for this his whole academic career.
He's just
16 years.
Ready to pop off.
Finally, he encounters the classroom activity that really plays to all of his strengths.
Yeah. But yeah, so that I think that's it in second period. And I mean, that was a busy day. I was so tired just from second period. I mean, we went, I think, bell to bell. I mean, not quite bell because it wasn't the bell.
Right.
But like, kids were constantly engaged in this, which made me feel bad because we didn't get to what I wanted to get to today.
Happens.
But made me feel good because it really makes me think something's here.
Yes.
You know, it really makes me think already with the skills that we've been using and talking about that there are places to, like, amp up the academia within this, amp up the participation among this, so it's not just, like, a couple people. I mean, like, second period, we probably got, like, 70-80% engagement.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Like, 70-80% of people are, like, doing things actively. That's what it feels like, anyway. So, for example, I think next year I might, like, insert a phase where we have, like, a phase specifically dedicated to, like, lawmaking.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
You know. I'm for sure going to, on tomorrow, introduce, like, this idea of a high court.
To
second period. Because second period needs that.
And they haven't thought of it yet.
They haven't thought of it. I mean, I thought of it in fourth period. But like, the idea was, like, I introduced a law in fourth period,
mm-hmm.
and so needed to have someone who could interpret the law.
Right, which is basically going to happen when you introduce the bankruptcy law.
Right. And I think it would be really healthy for second period, and I think it's this lack of law is what's allowed Gucci Napkin to run rampant, is because we have the power in one person.
Bold of you to assume Gucci Napkin isn't going to have the high court wrapped around his finger.
It's a distinct possibility, especially with this kid. So many people are scared of Gucci Napkin. And I mean, you had kids today paying Gucci Napkin like $50 just to not be attacked.
Yeah.
Just to, like, make the contract to not be attacked. They were just prepaying it. Like, he wasn't close to them. He was like one or two states away, but like, this kid.
This is like the thing you told me about in chess, where like, the threat of
the
move is scarier than
the
actual move.
But like, with
maybe you should teach Gucci Napkin chess. I think that
he'd
it would
probably be good.
I think that he'd be good. Yeah.
But, yeah, like, the kid who did that is just, like, he's probably realizing that, like, money's going to keep going up, and, like, $50 now is probably going to be worth more to him than, like, right. $700 later. You know, mm-hmm. he's doing the monster math on it. But, where was I going with this point?
You were talking about needing to introduce a high court.
Oh, yeah.
Into second
we
grade.
Need to introduce a high court. And I think that that's the reason why Gucci Napkin has really taken over in second and Maxville has not in fourth. Because Maxville has a check and balance where Gucci Napkin does not.
Yes.
And that was not, like, intentional by me. But I think some power to the people in second would be really good for them.
For sure.
And I'll be interested to see if second follows a similar pattern to fourth does. About how they are using the law as, like, this extra stick against basically the people they don't like.
Yeah. you mean that's not what the law is for?
Maybe it is. In this game, it seems to be. As you can tell, we took a short break in there. That's very, very noticeable to the people who are listening. We're electing to break this up. And so we're gonna record two episodes right now.
We'll leave you on a cliffhanger.
Leave you on a cliffhanger.
It's a narrative strategy.
But we are about to go into fourth period, in what will be only a couple minutes for us. But I suppose instantly to you if you play these back to back.
Yeah.
So I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Vaya con Dios.
Permanecer con Dios.